we present Arnold Bennett's Imperial Palace with Robin Ellis as Evelyn Orcombe.
Imperial Palace, good morning.
Certainly, madam. The time is 4:07.
No trouble at all, madam. And if you need to have your watch repaired, I'm sure the hall porter would be glad to help you when the day staff come on. Imperial Palace, good morning. The managing director. I'm very sorry, sir, but I'm afraid I can't disturb Mr. Orcombe at this time of night, except in an emergency. Very well, sir. I'll see that he gets your message when he wakes up. Yes, sir, of course.
Well done. Very diplomatic.
Oh, Mr. Orcombe, I didn't see you there.
The door was ajar and I heard my name mentioned.
Oh, if I'd have known you were up, I'd have...
No, you were absolutely right. I don't encourage night callers. Who was it?
The chairman, sir, Mr. Dover.
That's all right. Mr. Dover can wait until breakfast. If there's a real emergency, I'll be in the front hall with the night porter. Morning, Sam.
Oh, good morning, Mr. Orcombe. You're up early, sir.
Anything in the night report?
Nothing much, sir. A lady left suite 341 at 3 a.m.
Taxi or car?
Walked.
Let me see the book. Keep an eye on suite 341. If it happens again, let me know.
Yes, sir. Oh, hello. Looks like someone arriving.
Oh, that'll be Sir Henry Savard. He rang from Southampton. He's reserved two suites on the third floor overlooking the park. You see to the luggage. I'll look after Sir Henry.
Orcombe, good morning. Don't tell me you got up this early especially to meet me.
No, I didn't.
Oh, I'm so glad.
I suppose you crossed on one of your own ships.
Yes, the Caractacus. And then my daughter drove me and her maid in the hand luggage up to town. Oh, Gracie's the devil's own driver, especially at night when the road... Ah, here she is. My dear, I don't think you know Mr. Orcombe. Come say hello.
Hello, Mr. Orcombe.
Miss Savard. This is a great pleasure.
It must be very nice to him. At the Imperial Palace, Evelyn Orcombe is the Emperor.
Oh, then I shall be very nice indeed. Oh, Tessa, would you take my things up and start to unpack?
Very good, miss.
Well, I'm ready for bed myself, so...
Hope you have a good night, Sir Henry. Or what's left of it.
Oh, I shall. I'm very fortunate. I can sleep when I want to, when I'm here. Good night, Orcombe.
I do hope you didn't get up specially to meet us, Mr. Orcombe.
No, I'm off to Smithfield to see our meat buyer. But if I'd known you'd be here, I might well have done.
Next time I'll give you due warning. Do you go to Smithfield every day?
No, about once a week.
How fascinating. I've never seen a meat market. Will you do something for me?
If I can.
Oh, you can. Would you mind very much taking me with you?
But you must be tired after your journey.
No, I'm like father and you. I'm never tired. Oh, please say yes. I could drive you there. My car's still outside.
Well, if you really think it would interest you...
Oh, you're an angel. Give me 5 minutes to run up and change. I promise not to keep you waiting.
Do you want me to get you a cab, Mr. Orcombe?
What? Oh, no, that won't be necessary.
Is everything all right, sir?
Yes, I think so. Yes, of course. Everything's fine.
Tessa, have you... Tessa?
Yes, miss?
Why are you sitting in the dark? Where's the switch? Oh, no. What have you done?
I couldn't help it. The scissors slipped.
Oh, it's all right. I'll get something to bandage it.
Sorry, miss.
Oh, I know. Here, hold this on it to stop the bleeding. Don't worry.
Are you sure you don't want me to fetch a cab, sir?
I don't know. It's 4:15.
Oh, perhaps I'm sorry I kept you waiting.
Changing took longer than you expected?
Oh, no, it's not that. In the end, I just pulled on a hat and a cloak. There were complications. But you won't be late. I'll make up the time.
I'll say this for you. You can drive a car.
No, this isn't driving. I don't drive anymore.
What do you mean?
I mean real driving. On the racetrack. I've given that up.
Well, of course, I was forgetting. You used to be a champion. What happened? Have an accident?
No, never. But I might have done. It wasn't worth the risk. I decided I'd rather go out with a clean slate. And what made you decide to go into the hotel business?
Well, I'm not sure. Instinct, perhaps. I was always fond of dealing with people, organising them.
Always? Even when you were a boy?
Yes, even then. Clubs and things. Then I managed the refreshment department at Earl's Court for a year, and through their wine merchant, I got the management of the Way Hotel at Weybridge. I rebuilt that. I added two wings to it.
And your present position?
Oh, well, they needed a new manager, and they sent for me. But I wouldn't leave the Way, so to get me, they bought it.
And what happened then?
Well, I'm still running it. I'll be going down later this morning. I can't get there every day. When you're in charge of the largest luxury hotel in the world...
The largest? Have you ever been to America?
I have. I expected to learn a lot, but I didn't. Even though I travelled all over America. Tell me something. How did you know I never get tired?
I can see it in your shoulders. How old are you?
What a question.
Why? Does it bother you? Doesn't bother me. I'm 25 and I don't care who knows it.
If I were 25, I wouldn't care either. As it happens, I'm 47.
And you're not married?
No. How did you know that?
I was going to say I can see that too. But to be honest, my father told me.
His information was incomplete. I've been a widower for nearly 20 years.
I'm sorry.
You needn't be. It was a mistake. When we were in love, we were the happiest couple on earth. When we were married, it was something different. 3 years later, she died in childbirth, and the child was stillborn. That was my experience of marriage, and it's not one I wish to repeat.
Ah. Oh. So, here we are, Smithfield.
Ah, there's Jim Craddock. He's our buyer, the one who's sticking a skewer in that lamb carcass. Now he smells it, and he sticks it back in. That means it's good. Good enough for the Imperial Palace. Come on, I'll introduce you.
Chimes and Ends. Right, Jack?
Morning, Craddock.
Morning, sir.
This is Miss Savant. She knows all about motor racing, and now she wants to know all about Smithfield.
Oh, glad to meet you, miss.
Hello, Mr. Craddock. I do think your market is marvellous. It's so big and so clean.
Oh, got to be, miss. Everything clean, everything fresh. You see these lambs? I guarantee there aren't 10 like this in all London. They'll be carved up now and ready for the restaurant by midday. Of course, the beef has to be hung for 5 or 6 days. We used to hang it 12 or 14, but you ladies changed your taste and we have to follow.
How do you mean?
Well, look here. Now, you see all that calves' liver? Not so long ago, I could buy as much as I wanted for sixpence a pound. Would you believe it? It costs me 2 bob these days. And all because the Harley Street doctors say it's good for anemia.
Amazing. And you have to get up so early every morning. When do you sleep?
No, I don't, miss. Leastways, not more than 3 or 4 hours. But I make up for it Sundays.
Oh, I see. Oh, it's like another world here. It's as big as a railway station.
It's big. It's bigger than any station in London.
What's behind those steel doors?
Refrigerators, miss. And 30 years ago, when I started... There wasn't even an ice box here.
But it's quite warm.
Excuse me, sir. It looks like I'm wanted. Back in a jiffy.
Thank you, Craddock.
I don't really need this cloak.
Ah, allow me. Oh, there's a mark on your dress.
What? Where?
On the sleeve, a stain. Looks like blood.
I must have brushed against one of the carcasses. Perhaps I'll keep my cloak on after all.
When we get back, the housekeeper will see to it. Our valets are very good at getting stains out. Good morning, Miss Cass.
Good morning, Mr. Orcombe. You do know it's nearly 10 o'clock.
Certainly. One of our guests expressed an interest in Smithfield, and I showed her around. Then we had breakfast in a workman's cafe. Any messages?
Yes. Sir Henry Savart telephoned from his suite.
Inquiring after his daughter, perhaps.
I beg your pardon?
The young lady who wished to visit Smithfield.
Oh, no, sir. He wants to know when it would be convenient to see you on a business matter.
Did he indeed? How very interesting.
What shall I tell him?
Mr. Orcombe is extremely sorry, but he has prior engagements which will keep him busy all day.
Very good, sir. Oh, and Mr. Dover rang. He said you were going to call him.
So I am, when I have the time. But the staff conference begins in 10 minutes, and the day I keep the department heads waiting is the day the heavens fall. Shall we go?
I do not believe this. I cannot believe it.
Please, please. One at a time. Monsieur Planquet, you were saying...
It is not possible. Our restaurant is the finest in London.
in the world.
Monsieur, no one disputes the fact that you are the finest chef in London, possibly in the world. And these figures are no reflection upon your skills. But the fact remains, yesterday's figures for the restaurant compared with the same day last year are... Remind me, Miss Cass.
£19 up, sir.
Ah, you see?
But 20 more meals were served.
In other words, the average bill is slightly less. And the consumption of wine, champagne and liqueurs is distinctly lower.
There isn't the money about. This depression has hit everyone.
I'm afraid Mrs. O'Riordan is right. Our clientele are not spending as freely.
You cannot blame me for that.
Nobody's blaming you, monsieur. But perhaps if you put a little extra salt into your sauces to make our guests more thirsty.
For this, I should ruin my sauces? Never.
I think Mr. Orkin was joking, monsieur.
The hot cuisine is not a matter for joking.
Perhaps we should move on. What's next on the agenda?
There's the question of the mink.
The mink?
There was an unfortunate incident shortly after midnight. One of my housekeepers had an argument with a drunken woman who complained she'd been given a cheap imitation fur cape at the cloakroom instead of her own mink.
Who was the housekeeper?
Miss Berry. As a rule, she's very reliable, but it had been a long day and she was very tired. I'm afraid she lost her temper, and the guest swept out, threatening to sue the hotel. Both women were quite hysterical.
The hotel detective thinks he's heard of the woman before. He's checking with Scotland Yard.
I dare say. But the fact remains, a guest has been insulted by a member of the staff.
Miss Berry had a great deal of provocation.
There can be no such thing as provocation at the Imperial Palace. That's a cardinal rule. I have every sympathy with Miss Berry, but she must be moved from her post and given another duty, where she will not have direct contact with our guests.
I'm afraid she'll regard that as demotion. She might walk out altogether.
If she wishes to leave, she will be replaced. We shall do our best to struggle on without her. Now, what's next? Lady Parnaby's petticoat?
You should have been there, Daddy. It was fascinating.
No thanks. Raw meat doesn't appeal to me. I prefer it on a plate, and very well done. Come in.
Sir Henry Savard?
Mm-hmm.
I'm Mr. Orcombe's secretary.
Ah, yes. You pass on my message?
Yes, sir. But unfortunately, Mr. Orcombe is very busy today. He's had to go and sort out a problem with the laundry.
The laundry? Well, when he comes upstairs again, perhaps
he'll
ask him...
The hotel laundry is in Kennington, Daddy. Mr. Orcombe told me.
Then why didn't he speak to me before he went out?
Well, I expect he tried.
What?
But you didn't wake up until after 11. Hello, I'm Gracie Savitt. You must be Miss Cass. He told me so much about you.
Oh.
So, you see, Daddy, he did his best.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sure he'll talk to you when he gets back. Isn't that right, Miss Cass?
Why, yes. I expect so.
Naturally, Mr. Perkin, her ladyship was far from pleased, and I don't blame her.
Oh, yes, indeed, sir. Very regrettable. Oh, while you're here, I'd like to show you one new innovation we've introduced since your last visit.
Oh, what's that?
A little idea I had, and I carried it out. You see those rows of pipes up there, near the ceiling?
The coloured ones? What about them?
If you recollect, they all used to be black. But now they're red for hot water, blue for cold, and yellow for steam. When a minor repair is necessary, you can tell at a glance which is which. With my new system, you can't make a mistake. I do hope you approve.
Brilliant. I congratulate you. Now, to get back to the matter of her ladyship's petticoat. It was like a dress shirt, stiff as a ball.
Merely a temporary setback, sir. It's being relaundered now.
That's not good enough. Do you know who was responsible for this idiotic mistake?
Oh, yes, sir. I wonder if you'd step into my office. I'd appreciate a word in private. When I made inquiries, it transpired that a girl called Lillian Roy was to blame. I told Miss Powler to dismiss her at once.
Miss Powler?
Our staff manageress. I think you've met her.
Oh, yes. Nice woman. Not a beauty, but a very pleasant face. She seemed extremely capable.
Oh, as a rule, she is. But in this case, she did not support me as I would have wished. Like so many young women these days, Violet Powler has a mind of her own. Instead of dismissing the girl on the spot, she said she would investigate further.
And that creates a problem?
Well, discipline is the cornerstone, isn't it? And if discipline isn't enforced, where are you?
Perhaps I should have a word with her.
Oh, I'd be very grateful. You'll find her in her office.
Liam, you know what red threads mean, don't you?
Yes, Miss Powler. Red means the article has to be starched.
And this petticoat didn't need starching, but you put a red thread into it. Why?
But, miss, it isn't red, it's green.
This is a green thread?
Yes, miss, look.
Very well, never mind. Come and see me before you start work tomorrow, will you? Off you go.
Yes, miss. Thank you, miss. Oh, I do beg your pardon, sir.
My fault entirely. Miss Powler, may I come in?
Mr. Orcombe, yes, of course.
So, the young lady is colourblind. Forgive me, the door was open. I couldn't help overhearing.
Yes, it's a funny coincidence. Poor Lillian's responsible for putting the red markers in, and she turns out to be colourblind. I shall have to find a different job for her.
I must say, you handled it very tactfully.
Oh, she's a good girl. I would have been sorry to lose her.
Quite so. But there is another matter I want to raise. Something which might interest you. We have a vacancy for a housekeeper at the hotel. I'm afraid it would mean leaving home all our housekeeping staff live in. I don't know how you'd feel about that.
I see. Well, it's very good of you, but I'll have to talk it over with me mum and dad.
I take it you're not married?
No, but I'd still need to think about it.
Of course. And I must get back to the hotel. But I'd be grateful if you would let me know as soon as possible.
Mr. Orcombe!
Good Lord! I thought you were going to run me over!
I wouldn't dream of it. They said you were here, so I came to find you. Can I give you a lift? So that's why I made your peace with Father. I couldn't bear any trouble between you.
Oh, couldn't you?
And now I'd like you to do something for me. Would you ask him to dinner tonight, and me? He really would appreciate it.
No, I'm afraid I couldn't.
Why not?
Because he wants to talk business. It would set us off on the wrong foot.
Ah. How about if he asks you to dinner tonight?
Well, if he does, I'll accept with pleasure, but he won't.
Oh, won't he? You leave that to me.
Evening, Orcombe.
Sir Henry, I was about to phone you and make an appointment for tomorrow when your generous invitation arrived.
Oh, what of you to accept such short notice?
Will your daughter be joining us?
I told her to come and find us in the restaurant later. I thought we should meet in the cocktail bar since ladies aren't permitted in here. We can talk without any interruptions.
Quite. Ah, Mannix.
Yeah, good evening, sir. Good evening, Sir Henry.
Good Lord. How are you, Mannix? I haven't seen you since heaven knows when. New York? You were a famous figure at the Plaza.
Yes, sir. I believe I was the best-known barman there. Until Prohibition and Mr. Orcombe brought me home again. What will you have, gentlemen?
What's your latest? The Apollo?
The Apollo's fairly new. But my latest I call a green parrot.
Well, Sir Henry, how about a green parrot?
I'll risk it.
Thank you, sir. And a soft drink for you, sir? Mr. Orcombe is not a cocktail man.
I'm more of a cocktail man than you are. Did you know Mannix is a teetotaler?
Is that a fact? Then how did you manage to invent your concoctions?
I taste. I never swallow. Your drinks will be ready in 2 minutes, gentlemen.
What a character. How did you manage to get him away from the Plaza?
I knew he was homesick. A man who lives for 20 years in New York and never picks up a word of slang or even an American accent. There must be something unusually English about him.
Mm-hmm.
What's wrong?
Well, everyone seems to be staring. Oh, Lord. So much for our tete-a-tete.
I waited in the restaurant until I got tired of waiting. And do you know, that man at the door tried to stop me coming in.
It's the rule of the house, my dear.
This place is more old-fashioned than I thought. Well, we mustn't embarrass everyone. Shall we go and eat? I'm starving. Now, this is much more sociable. That caviar was absolutely splendid.
So is the cabaret. How much do you pay your artists, Orcombe?
Quite a lot. But they're worth it. £80 a week for the singer. The dancers get 40 or 50. And with the band, something in the region of 1,200 a week.
So in the course of a year, you... By Jove, isn't that Lord Watlington over there?
Yes, he's a regular customer.
The very man I want to see. I think I'll just step over and have a word. Excuse me. I shan't be a moment.
He's never happy unless he's talking business.
And every time he tries, you manage to head him off.
I know. Fun, isn't it? Aren't you going to ask me to dance?
In the middle of dinner?
Why not?
Let's take a turn around the floor.
Oh, I'm sorry. I don't dance.
The best band in London and you don't dance? Haven't you ever?
Well, I used to, 20 years ago. You must excuse me.
Well, Daddy, are you happy now?
Sorry I had to desert you.
Oh, you're forgiven. Because now we're going to desert you.
Hmm?
Mr. Orcombe just asked me to dance, so you can get on with your entrecote in peace.
Oh, very well.
Thank you.
For dancing with you?
You're not calling me a liar, but you're lying as well. You dance beautifully. Except, are you doing it on purpose?
Doing what?
Holding me at arm's length. Closer, please.
Is that better?
Much better. And there's something else I want you to do for me. Can you guess what it is?
I can't imagine.
I want you to take me around the kitchens. You showed me Smithfield. Now I want to see how the meat is cooked. I love having a peep behind the scenes.
Tell me, what happens when you don't get your own way?
I don't know. It hasn't happened yet. Mrs. Pandemonium!
Carefully controlled, Pandemonium. See those scraps of paper pinned up on the board?
The ones with the numbers on?
37. That's our table. And that squiggle will be the souffle you ordered.
But everyone's dashing round so fast.
This is nothing. You should see the place at midday when everyone wants lunch at the same time. Ah, here's the man in charge. Allow me to present Monsieur Plonquet, Miss Savart.
Enchanté, mademoiselle. This is a great pleasure.
It is an honor for me, monsieur. Would I be right in thinking that you come from Provence?
Do you imagine anyone but a Frenchman from the Midi could be in charge of such a kitchen? As you see, though we cook by electricity and by gas with the most modern ovens, we also have an open wood fire where the volaille, the poultry, roast slowly on a traditional spit. For the perfect roast fowl, we must return to the old methods.
And over there, the very latest and most expensive machine for making ice cream.
The mix of new and old. It is bizarre, huh?
Monsieur, show us how the new machine works.
With pleasure. I return in one moment.
You know what you are?
What am I?
A perfect child who has found the perfect toy. And you're something else, too. You're a darling.
Am I?
Oh, yes. Later this evening, I've invited some friends to a little party in my suite. And you must come, too. I want to introduce you.
Oh, I wish I could. But alas, I can't.
But I'm counting on you. You mustn't say no.
I'm afraid I must. There's a pile of work on my desk. It has to be dealt with before tomorrow. Perhaps I shall see you in the morning?
Perhaps.
1,000 apologies, mademoiselle. Now I am all yours. I do whatever you want.
Thank you, monsieur. That's very kind of you.
Who is it?
May I come in?
You are in. You realize it's nearly 1 o'clock in the morning?
Of course. And my party is still going on.
And I'm still working.
You're not. You're just sitting and thinking.
A lot of my work gets done that way. Anyhow, why do you want me to come to this party of yours?
Because I think you're wonderful.
Mm. I'd love to say yes, but I really can't. You do believe that, don't you?
I'm not sure. I think you're holding me at arm's length again.
If I am, it's with the greatest reluctance. But the work must be done. Forgive me.
Very well. Good night.
Wait, I'll see you to the lift.
No, please. I couldn't bear that.
Good morning, Miss Cass.
Good morning, Mr. Orcombe. How are you today?
Well, much the same as usual. Why do you ask?
I thought you looked a little pale.
Ah, I had a rather restless night. Any messages for me?
They're on your desk.
Oh, right. Mr. Dover. Yes, I really must speak to him. And Mrs. O'Riordan?
She would like to see you when it's convenient.
What's this? Miss Savart?
A message from the hall porter. Miss Savart left the hotel at dawn. She was catching the boat train to Paris.
Oh. Did she leave a forwarding address? I mean, in case any letters come for her.
I didn't ask. But I could make inquiries. Sir Henry's still here. He might know, shall I?
No, it doesn't matter. There's another name here. It looks like Ponder.
Miss Powler, sir. The message was, she's thought it over and the answer is yes. She said you'd understand.
Violet Powler, of course. Ring the laundry and ask Miss Powler if she'd be good enough to come in this afternoon for an interview.
Very good, sir.
Ah, Mr. Orcombe, I was hoping I might catch you. Can you spare me a minute?
Two at a pinch. How can I help you?
It's about the replacement for Miss Berry. You see, last night I put on my thinking cap and I believe I've come up with someone who might be possible.
Well, that's a coincidence, Mrs. O'Riordan. So have I. Miss Powler will be coming in this afternoon.
Would you? Right, Miss Powler, sir. Yeah, she's over there by the revolving doors, talking to the gentleman.
Oh, yes, I see. But surely that's Sir Henry Savard.
Extraordinary, running into you like this after so many years.
It's very nice to meet you again, Sir Henry.
Well, I'm glad things are going well for you. Ah, Orcombe, my dear chap, it seems we have a mutual friend in Miss Powler.
Yes, so it seems.
Yeah, but if you'll excuse me, I must be on my way, an urgent appointment in the city. I hope we'll meet again, Miss Powler.
I hope so, sir. Good afternoon, Mr. Orcombe.
Let's go up to my office. Shall we take the lift? I was delighted to get your message this morning.
I was very pleased to get your reply, though I'm not exactly sure what a hotel housekeeper does.
I'm going to introduce you to Mrs. O'Riordan. She'll explain it all. Both lifts seem to be stuck on the top floor. Well, I must say you're looking very smart today.
Thank you, sir. I did my best.
The only thing is, I hope you won't mind me saying this, but if you do come to work here, it might be an idea to put on a little makeup, perhaps.
Yes, sir. I didn't at the laundry. Well, it would have seemed out of place there, but here, as a matter of fact, I think I'd rather like it.
Good, good. So, you're a friend of Sir Henry Savard?
Oh, I wouldn't say a friend exactly. You see, I used to have an older sister, Susan. She died some years ago. And for a time, she was Sir Henry's housekeeper at his place in Sussex. That's how I met him.
I see. Very odd. You're running into him again like this.
Well, yes. Though I wasn't exactly surprised to find him here. I suppose he was here on business.
Well, yes, I believe so. Ah, at last, here comes our lift.
Yes, I remember Susan telling me. It was one of his ambitions. She said he was always hoping to take over a first-class hotel someday.
Oh, really?
Why, didn't you know that?
No, I didn't. But thank you for telling me. After you, Miss Powler.
In the first episode of Arnold Bennett's Imperial Palace, Evelyn Orcombe was played by Robin Ellis and Violet Powler by Charlotte Attenborough. Gracie Savart, Colleen Prendergast, Sir Henry Savart, Derek Waring, Miss Cass, Anne Beach. Monsieur Planquet, Sean Baker, Mrs. O'Riordan, Janet Moore, Lillian, Amanda Gordon, Jim Craddock, John Hollis, Mr. Perkin, Keith Drinkle, Mannix, Johan Meredith. Other parts were played by members of the cast. Imperial Palace is dramatized for radio by Peter Ling and directed by Enid Williams.